I'm Aiden, and I'm a student at the University of Tampa majoring in entrepreneurship. And my question is, how do you use your platform as a professor to engage with both students and coworkers? Thanks.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to Meet the Prof. I'm Shane Hartley, and my friend Spence Hackney and I have the privilege of collecting questions from college students, like you just heard from Aiden, and then we ask them to Christian professors. Our goal is to encourage Christ-centered conversations on the college campus. And I'm so grateful you joined us. Thanks for taking this time to tune in. And we have a treat of hearing from Dr. Abba Ebong today. And Abba is a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And one of the things I really appreciate about Abba is how much he loves the Word of God. And I think you'll also be encouraged when you hear about how bold he is with his students about his faith and encouraging them to have faith. So before we get started, would you please remember to subscribe or follow to this podcast or whatever platform you're using? And please forward this and share it with a professor or a student that you know of who might find it helpful. And so without any further ado, then here is our interview with Dr. Abba Ebong.
Fortunately, I was blessed to be born in Nigeria. And all my life, I've been in the church in several, different denominations, but it's a church that focuses on the Word. In elementary school, I was in a missionary school that was run by a Presbyterian church. And as early as 9 years, we were all forced to be in the choir. That's something. Yes. So, and we had to memorize Psalm 23, Psalm 121, Psalm 91, Psalm 1. So that became part of us to actually commit the Word of God in our hearts. And on top of that, my dad was a pastor. So that actually made a lot of difference.
Was there a point when you remember it changing from a requirement to memorize these verses, be in the choir, and become more personal of a joy of your own personal, your faith?
Yeah, it became, when it became real to me was when I started college. That was my undergrad, 1981, when a pastor was preaching. And the word that came to me was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It says, godliness with contentment. That hit me. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. That's verse 6. And verse 7 says, for we came into the world with nothing, and it is certain that we'll go out with nothing. That was the changing parameter in my life. That word sank into my heart that godliness, you know, we can exercise. It's for a temporary thing. But godliness is forever. It takes us through every situation. And then when that just sank in from the spiritual viewpoint, I was a changed person till today, where I was born and bred. If God doesn't do it, no one can do it. Because we don't have medical insurance. We don't have medical services. So in terms of health, you have to completely and solely rely on the healing power of God. And it has come through to me in several cases. In many cases, there has never been a time in my life that I'm in an odd situation that for health reasons, I just pray God. I remember when I was in high school, I used to have a spleen in my stomach. It was very big and I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything. So, but one night as I was praying, fasting, one night in the dream, I touched that spleen and picked it out of my stomach. And that was it. Never again, I had spleen again. Now from at this age, there is never a day I don't run. I run every blessed day. And this year, my total mileage is over 2,000 miles. Could you imagine that? I mean, and I started running over since 2000. So imagine now how many years now, 20 plus years I've been running every day. That tells you how much I've enjoyed the glory and the love of the Father.
Mm. And you found some places around Charlotte. I think of that being a big city, but there's a lot of paths you can run.
Yeah. Another situation where I saw the power of God was, you know, I had scholarship to go to Australia for my PhD. I got there, I saw the advisor that I was to meet, and he did something that was so mind-boggling to me. I was crying that weekend. That was the longest weekend in my life. But I was praying, and as I was praying, that night I had a dream, and I met him in the office, and he said, okay, wait, I'm going to bring another person who is going to be a co-advisor. So when in that dream, he brought that person, I saw that he's a tall man, and then the following Monday, when I met him in the office, it was exactly the same man I saw in the dream, and he introduced, everything came out so fine. So that's God is good. So that's how God actually delivers me from every adverse situations, and it shows me that he is with me, he is for me, and when he's for me, no one can be against me, according to Romans 8, verse 31.
So now, Alba, I know you've had many opportunities over the years to actually talk to students about Jesus and minister to them. Can you tell us about one that's really stood out to you? Any opportunity that God just really opened up for you to minister to a student?
So there was the one instance where a student had a situation that he had a stomach. There was something that they diagnosed in his stomach. So he was to go for surgery. He came to my office and told me, and then I asked him, I was talking to him, I said, you know, I'm a believer and follower of Christ, and I believe in supernatural healing. He said, I'm also a believer. I said, really? But I'm not at that level that you are, but I don't go to church. I said, you don't have to go to church because to be a Christian. All what you need to do is to believe, because when you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's what he did. That's all what it is about. He said, really? I said, yes. But another thing that you have to arm yourself with is the word of God. Do you believe that God is able to heal you? Say yes. Do you believe that he is willing to heal you? Say yes. I said, okay. I take my anointing oil and anointed him and prayed. Then he left. So I gave it, so in the class, 24 students in the class, I just called him and said, look, take this prayer cloth, because the following day that he said he was going to have a surgery in the class, I gave it to say, look, take this prayer cloth, let it be put on that apron that you are going to wear into the surgery room. Let it be there. Leave it there. I was so excited. He said, thank you. Thank you, professor. He was so excited. And then he took it in front of the class. Everyone saw it, and that was good. So the following day, he went to the hospital. They did a test. Absolutely, there was no trace of what he had in the stomach. He was completely healed. So that was a very big situation. And that's...
He witnessed that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Everyone was shouting in the class. So that was exciting. I mean, you know, this is a class of 43 students. I mean, so everyone was accepting it. So it's such a blessing that because everyone knows that. In fact, some of the students usually come to me and say, professor, can you pray for us? Pray for this, so and so, pray for this in the class. So it's just a blessing that, I mean, because this is not my doing, and it's always bringing that divine opportunities for us to witness, and then not just talking. Because when you keep on talking without being, students don't trust you. But when you talk and they see it in your life, and consistency makes a lot of difference, because when they come to me, they know that they are safe. They can trust. They know that whatever I tell them, because most of the time I tell them that I say, look, God is sovereign when he doesn't speak. But when he speaks, he must do what he says. So as a child of God, that's what you'll see in me. And that's what I normally tell the students.
So will you repeat that phrase that you say whenever someone asks you, how are you?
I am blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved by him who created me.
You are basically initiating spiritual conversations every time someone asks, how are you?
Yep. That's what it is about.
So for those of us who have a harder time initiating spiritual conversations, making any bridge, maybe we don't know what to say, or maybe we feel afraid, or even we're worried, you know, about how this could affect our jobs. What advice would you give to other faculty, staff, and grad students if they're wanting to initiate more spiritual conversations with colleagues, but they struggle to do that?
And what I say is that, because if you spend time in the Word, believe me, because Christ said, I'm sending you into the midst of wolves. That's what he said. So, but do not be afraid, because any time that you are confronted, the Spirit will speak through you. So the only way that that can happen is that when the Word of God, because the Word of God, you see, the psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. So when somebody meditates on the Word of God, no matter what, there's no fear, because there's no fear in love. God is in us. 1 John 4 verse 4, my little children, you have God. You have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So when we have that willingness, because that's one thing that is going on. We have the willingness, but we have to put in a little bit of time, because Christ says, if you want to follow me, you have to carry your cross every blessed day. So it's not something that, okay, I ate yesterday, today, but because physical food, you eat three times a day. Do we think about a spiritual food that we at least once a day, if not three times? Because we have to take a snack of a spiritual food. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Those are the simple things that you just confess. It happens.
Wow. That reminds me of a friend teaches at Penn State, Dr. Heather Holloman. So her method of having conversations that are spiritual is that she talks with everyone just about what she's learning, whether they're a believer or not. She will share what she read in the Bible that morning and what she's struggling with, what she's praying about. And that just becomes a natural overflow, I think.
Amen. Amen. That's great.
Well, Abba, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was great to get to know you, Sam. I appreciate you taking this time.
Thank you very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview, and you can learn more as well as read about other Christian professors on our website, meettheprof.com, and you can search for professors by name or by state or even by college campus. And you can also find many helpful resources about questions that were in the interview and other ways of answering tough questions at crew.org, and that's cru.org. And college students, if you would like to ask a question to a professor and potentially be on the show, this is how you do it. Follow us on Instagram. It's Meet the Prof Official. And then upload us a video by direct message where you say your name, your college campus, and what year you are, and then ask your question. And you can ask more than one question. And hopefully then you can be featured on the show. And if you enjoyed this, would you please share this episode with a friend? Someone you think it would be helpful to. And please don't forget to follow or subscribe to the podcast. And if you're listening to this, but you would like to watch the videos of these interviews, we record them all and we put them on YouTube. So you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Meet the Prof Official. And we would love to meet you there. And lastly, if you would like to financially support our Faculty Commons ministry with CRU, you can do so online by going to give.cru.org/0424344. So thank you for being with us. And until next time, we hope you feel encouraged to have a Christ-centered conversation on your college campus.